You know, today I'm going to talk about what I think is the greatest need in America today, and that is Christians praying. I really believe that God wants us to be men and women of prayer. God wants us to be active in our prayer life. And oftentimes we talk about prayer, and we talk about becoming a prayer warrior, but what does it mean to be a prayer warrior? I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Years ago, about 4 years ago, I was on Monday. I take Monday off with my family. My wife and I went over to a restaurant not far from us called Olive Garden, and we went to the Olive Garden. That's my wife's favorite restaurant, and so we went there. We were sitting, getting ready to eat. It was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and so we sat down, and young man came up to wait on us and brought us some water to drink. And I said, hey, his name tag said Will. So I said, hey, Will, I said, can I give you something really good? And he said, what's that? I said, this is something that I wrote. I said, it'll tell you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. And he said, you're kidding. I said, no. He said, really? And he looked at it and said, you can know you're going to heaven. He said, you're not going to believe this. I said, what? He said, yesterday morning, which was Sunday morning, he said, I woke up and I thought, I don't know I'm going to heaven. I want to know I'm going to heaven. I really want to know I'm going to heaven. And he said, I started praying. I said, God, I want to know I'm going to heaven. He said, so I thought, the best way I can find out how I can know I'm going to heaven is by going to church. And he said, I got up and I went to church. And he said, as I was heading to church, he said, I just went to the first church I could find. He said, I drove into the parking lot. I went inside. They were all singing. And so I sang with them. He said afterwards, they had the preacher got up and preached. I don't remember what he preached. He said afterwards, they said, everybody come down to the front. So he said, I came down in the front. He said, people put their hands all over me and they prayed for me. And then he said, that was it. And he said, I got up and I left. And he said, as I was walking out, I thought, I still don't know I'm going to heaven. Nobody ever told me how I could know I'm going to heaven. And he said, I went home and I said, God, somebody's got to tell me how I can know I'm going to heaven. Last night I went to bed praying, God, let me know I'm going to heaven. You know that God answers prayer? He said, you walk in here and he said, you hand me this. He said, do you think that's God? I said, yeah, I think that might be. I said, let me share with you what the Bible says. The Bible says we're all sinners. And that because we're sinners, all of us deserve to go to hell. But that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. And he came to this earth because he loved us. And he didn't want us to have to pay for our own sin by going to hell. So he became a man and he suffered and died and suffered the equivalent of hell for us on the cross. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He was seen by hundreds of eyewitnesses and then he went back to heaven. And now he says, because I've already paid for your sin, all you have to do is call on me and you can ask me to be your Lord and Savior and God. And if you'd like to do that, well, you can do that. He said, really? I can do that right now? And I said, yes. And he got down. We're in Olive Garden. He got down on his knees next to my table. I said, get up. You're embarrassing me. No, I didn't say that. He said, can I pray right now? And I led him through the sinner's prayer and Will trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Can you say amen to that? That's a wonderful thing. God changed somebody's life because of prayer. People say to me all the time, do you think that a person can be saved just by simply praying? And I say, that's the only way a person can be saved. You have to come to an understanding that you're a sinner, that you deserve to go to hell, that Jesus died in your place, was buried, and rose from the dead for you. And you have to come to that living Savior and say, Jesus, there's no way I can save myself. Would you please give me eternal life? And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord gets saved. And that's a wonderful truth. And that's what we're all about. That's what life is all about. We're left here on this earth for one reason, to tell other people about Jesus Christ. But in order to be the witness God wants us to be, we have to be in tune with God. We have to be walking with God. We have to be his servants and living with him, because we can't do the work of God in and of ourselves. We need him to control us so that we can do his work. And that walking with God is it comes in our life as we develop a prayer life. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends out 70 disciples, two by two. So 35 groups of them go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. They see wonderful things happen. They see people healed. They see people lives change. They see all sorts of wonderful things take place. But they're not content with what they've seen. They want more, and they come back and report to Jesus what they've seen. Now they're communing with Jesus, and we come to Luke chapter 11. And in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Now, they're giving a request. They're saying, we want to learn from you how to pray, just like John taught his disciples to pray. The answer to their request is verses 2 through 13. Jesus teaches them how to pray and how to pray effectively. Now, we're going to talk about that this morning, in this hour and in the next hour, and I hope it's a blessing to you. Let's pray. Father, I would ask that you would communicate your truth through this, your servant, to your people today. Father, I just pray you'd help us when we leave this place to be more committed and more dedicated to a time of prayer in our life so that we can be effective in what you want us to do. Father, you want us to reach people all around us with the gospel, but we can't do that without you. And so I pray you teach us from your word this morning. Help us to take your truth and help us to apply it to our lives. And Father, I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Years ago, I read the book by John R. Rice, great book, classic book on prayer called Prayer, Asking and Receiving. In that book, he explains that prayer is not thanksgiving, that prayer is not worship, that prayer is not adoration, that prayer is not blessing, that prayer, the word prayer itself, and you can go throughout the scripture and you can find this to be the truth, that prayer is, the word prayer means to ask. That's all it means, over and over. I said that one time in our church, and a guy said, I'm going to check that out. And he went home. That's when computers were just coming in. He thought, I'm going to check every reference to prayer in the Bible. He checked me out. I've never done this. I just believe John R. Rice. And so he checked out every reference to prayer. He said, preacher, I just want you to know I spent all afternoon checking out what you said, that prayer, the word prayer means ask. And he said, you know what prayer means? I said, what's that? He said, ask. That's exactly what it means every single time. God wants us to come to him and ask him for things. And there are certain rules that he's given us in this passage that make prayer successful. But I tell people this, before we pray, we should prepare our hearts for prayer. And there are certain things that we can do to prepare our hearts for prayer. And I want to share with you some things. And I want you to understand this. I'm not going to tell you theory today. I'm just going to tell you what I do every single day. I want you to know that I did this morning. And so I'm not going to talk to you about something that I think you ought to do, but almost every day of my life, maybe four or five times this year, I have not done this every single day of my life. I do this because I believe that God answers prayer. And I want to be ready to pray, and I want God to hear and answer prayer. So I believe that prayer, the word prayer, means to ask. But before I pray, before I ask God for anything, there are certain things that I do to prepare for prayer. Jesus is going to talk about praying. But I want you to know there are some things I think we ought to do before we pray. First of all, I think it's very important that we worship Him every single day. We need to worship the Lord. Now, the term worship today is used for in multiple ways. Oftentimes, we talk about coming to a worship service, and we're glad you're here for the worship service. And oftentimes, people talk about worship, and they're talking about singing songs and praising the Lord. And that's all well and fine because words change and the meaning of words change over the years. But when you look in the Bible, just like the word prayer means ask, when you look in the Bible, the word worship means to fall down before. That's what the word actually means. The Bible tells us in the story of Nehemiah when he's rebuilding the wall that after they rebuilt the walls, they all bowed before and put their face to the ground worshiping the Lord. The Bible tells us when the three wise men came to Jesus to Bethlehem or to worship him, the Bible says they fell down and they worshiped him. Worship means to fall before the Lord. It means to get on your face before the Lord, bowing before him. This is a position of servitude. It's a position of recognizing that the one that you are talking to, you're requesting, is greater than you, that he's the one that's powerful. It's saying, Lord, I recognize that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the God of the universe. And that you are the master and I am the servant and I am here to serve you. I believe God wants us to worship him, to physically bow down before him every single day. You don't have to, you may not be able to get on your knees. You may be physically unable to do that. But we need to bow before him daily. I've made it a practice for years to bow before him and just say, Lord, I'm bowing before you. I'm recognizing you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I think it's sad that you can go all around this world and you can find Muslims who three times a day ritualistically bow before a false pagan demonic god and they worship him. But many Christians very seldom bow before God and worship him. We need to be worshipers of God. We need to worship him the way he said to, bowing before him, recognizing him as the King of Kings. Have I got this on? Okay, I'm going to make sure. Because every time I come here, it gets a little louder. Or it's just or maybe it's this too as well. So we need to worship the Lord. We need to bow before him on a daily basis, number one, as we're getting ready for prayer. Second thing, the Bible says this in Psalm chapter 100 and verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless him. If you have something to be thankful to God for today, slip up your hand. Okay, the Bible tells us to give thanks in everything. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Our God has blessed us so much. We are living in troubled times here in America right now. We're living in turbulent times. But I'm telling you what, these turbulent times are nothing compared to what other people are suffering in other countries. And you say, well, it may get worse. Well, it may get, but I'm telling you today, I got up and could have breakfast. I got up today and I was able to walk. I got up today and I got to meet other brothers and sisters in Christ and talk to brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm able to stand here and worship with you today and praise the Lord with you. We're able to do that together. Man, I've got a lot to be thankful for. I've got a wife that's put up with me for 44 years. That's a lot to be thankful for. Can you men say amen to that? Can you ladies say amen to that? The fact of the matter is we have so much to be thankful for. We need to thank God for the things that he's given to us. Thank God for, if somebody loves you, thank God for that. If you've got a place to live in, thank God for that. If you're kneeling before God and you're on carpet, thank God for that. There are people who kneel before God on dirt because they have nothing. We have so much to be thankful for in this country. And we need to thank God for what he has given to us. So every day we need to worship him. Number one. Number two, every day we should be thanking him. And thirdly, every day we should praise him. The Bible says to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. What's the difference between thanking him and praising him? Okay, here it is. First of all, preacher, I just want to thank you. Thank you for bringing me here today. That's allowing me to be here. It was a privilege for me to be at the retreat. It's a privilege for my wife and I to be able to meet you and your wife. Thank you for that. Thank you for the wonderful dinner. He took us to a buffet twice. Thank you. That is a wonderful thing. You fed us well. Thank you. Thank you for trusting me to preach here today. Thank you for all that you have done for me. That's thanks. Praise is this. Man, you're a sharp-looking guy. Man, oh man. Look at the way you're dressed. Oh, man, that tie, I wish I had that kind of taste in ties. Man, you're just a wonderful guy. The way you treat people, now, we can only take so much of that. And we're thinking, and I know you're thinking, would you just shut up? Would you talk about somebody else? But when somebody comes up and starts telling us how wonderful we are, that's praise. You do that so well. That's praise. God wants us not just to be thankful, but God wants us to praise Him and tell Him how wonderful He is. I'm a person with a limited vocabulary. I'm not that eloquent nor that intelligent, but I want to tell God how wonderful He is. I want to tell Him how much I love Him. So you say, what if I run out of words? And I do. I run out of words. I don't know what to say. But you know what? That's why God's given us hymn writers. God's given us hymn writers who write things that we can sing to Him. So you know what I do? I sing to the Lord every morning. I sing to Him. I say, Your name is wonderful. Your name is wonderful. Your name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord, You are the mighty King. You're master of everything. Your name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord, You're the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God, are You. I bow down before You. I love and adore You. Your name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. Sing to Him. Praise Him. You say, well, I don't have such a good voice. I don't either, but God likes it. God likes it. I'm never invited to sing anywhere, ever. I tried to join the choir when I was a teenager, and the guy said, okay, if you sit way in the back and sing like this. Fact is, God loves it. God loves me to sing to Him when I sing to Him and say, You're holy, holy, holy. He loves to hear that. He wants me to praise Him. He wants me to sing. Now listen, he said, why is that so important? And by the way, let me say this, and I'll talk about this in the next hour. When God tells us to pray, when they come to Jesus and they say, how should we pray? He said, when you pray, say. The word say means to speak out loud. You check it out. It means to speak out loud. God wants us to praise Him. God wants Him to thank us, to thank Him. God wants us to ask Him out loud. You say, why? That is, with our voice. In the Psalms, David says, my voice shall thou hear in the morning. Unto thee will I lift up my soul. With my lips I will praise thee. Why does he want us to speak out loud? Because when you're entering into prayer, you're entering into a spiritual battlefield. You're entering into communication with God. And you're not all by yourself there. You go into a room by yourself. Jesus said to do this. He said, go into a room, close the door. You're all by yourself, humanly speaking, but you're not. You see, there are at least two angels that are with you, according to Hebrews. You've got ministering spirits, got at least two. Some of us need more, but you've got at least two. And then you've got some demons. Satan, you may not be big enough for Satan to care about you. You may be a small fry like me, but he's got some demons that are after you. And so, and Satan can't be everywhere at the same time. So you've got some demons, you've got some angels, and you've got God in that room. And when there's nobody else around, and you bow down before God, and you thank Him, and you praise Him, and you do that out loud you are in a spiritual, you're in spiritual warfare, and you've entered into the spiritual realm, and you're doing something that Satan hates. And angels are praising God because there's somebody on this planet that is actually praising God and recognizing that He is there. That one that we cannot see, we are bowing before. Demons are cringing. You say, where do you get that? You should read, and I'm sure you have, the book of Job. The book of Job, there is Daniel. There's Job. That's why it's called Job. Job is there, and the Bible says that Job's there in center stage. Catch this. He's in center stage in heaven. He has no idea what's going on. He has no idea what's going on. There he is, and God the Father says, okay, go ahead and touch his body. Go ahead and strip his take his family, take away all of his things, go away and give him, allow him to have disease. And after all this is going on, Job, center stage in heaven, demons watching, angels watching, in that case, Satan's watching himself, and God is there. And the Bible says, he says, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can you understand? The angels are saying, yes! The demons are cringing. And Satan is defeated. And he's out loud praising God. We need to vocalize our thanks. We need to show our worship. The Bible tells us, Jesus said to the woman at the well, he said, listen, there's a time coming where we will worship God in spirit and in truth. So our spirit should always be bowed down before God. You're the master, I'm a servant. But when we physically bow down, when we are there's no other human beings around, it's just you and God and whatever demons are there, whatever angels are there, and you bow down and you thank him and then you praise him for who he is, man, that brings glory and honor to God in the spiritual realm. And you're preparing yourself for prayer. There's a fourth thing that you ought to do, I think every Christian ought to do every day, and that is we need to confess our sin to him every single day. You say, why? Why should I confess my sin to him? Well, first of all, he said if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Well, aren't all of our sins taken care of at Calvary? Yes, they are. And our sins have been paid for, and we never have to answer for our sins. But you know, just like I do, that, and that's a judicial statement, you know that as I do, that practically we all have to deal with sin. Anger, problems, bitterness, division, competition, a competitive spirit. I actually believe that there are demonic spirits that bring those thoughts to our minds. And God wants us to confess those things. God, I was jealous when my brother did this, and I was upset that he did this, and he got the recognition when I should have got the recognition. That's a spirit of jealousy, and I confess that that is wrong. God, you know I got upset, and I yelled at my kids when I shouldn't have yelled at my kids, and that was wrong. I confess that as sin. God, you know that I got lifted up in pride when somebody told me how nice my tie was. So I got lifted up with pride. And God, that was wrong. And please, I confess that to you. It's sin. It's sin to get lifted up. It's sin. I confess that. You say, well, I can't think of anything to confess. Well, just ask your wife. She'll have a list for you, and she can tell you what you need to confess. The fact of the matter is, or your children, ask them. They'll help you with that. There are people who know you, and they'll be truthful with you. Listen, we need to confess and be honest with God about those thoughts that come into our mind. And we need to confess them if we want to overcome them. And so every day, I confess to God. I said this at the couples retreat yesterday, that I am by nature a selfish, self-centered individual. I want what I want. I want my wife to serve me when I come home. I want my children to say, Father, what can I do for you when I come home? I want everybody to meet my needs. When I walk into the church that I pastor, I want people to say, hey, pastor, you're such a wonderful guy. And I'm going to say, yes, I am. Why do I want that? Because I am selfish. I am selfish. I'm self-centered. I'm self-seeking. And I have to confess that to God every day. God, help me overcome that. God, I pray you'll control me so that I won't do that. And so every single day, we need to confess our sin to God. Daily. Daily. Then lastly, and this is so, so important, every single day we should say to the Lord Jesus, I love you. I love you. When was the last time you said, I love you to Jesus? Did you tell him that today? Every day I say to the Lord, Lord, I love you. Father, I want you to know I love you. Lord Jesus, I want you to know I love you. Holy Spirit, I want you to know that I love you. In fact, when I sing thank you, Lord, I sing it this way. I sing, thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for making me whole. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. And then I say, I love you, Lord Jesus. I love you, Heavenly Father. I love you, Holy Spirit. This doesn't take long. You don't have to make a big thing out of it, but you need to tell the Lord Jesus every day that you love him. I said yesterday at the couples retreat, or a couple days ago, maybe it was Friday, that it fascinates me that the Apostle Peter denied Jesus three times. Three times. He denied him in Jesus' presence. Do you know this man? No, I don't know. No, I'm not one of his disciples. Second time, your speech betrays you. You know, no, I don't know this man. I'm not this man. Jesus is watching him, John tells us. And the third time, do you know him? No, and he curses. Says, I don't know who this guy is. Man, you treat me bad one time, I can cut you off real easy. You treat me bad twice, I'm just not. I don't care if I ever see you again. Third time, I don't know what that would be like. I can easily. My wife says, David, you and told me years ago, you need to work at that. You cut people off just really easy. I don't understand the Lord. After Peter did that to him, he sees him a few days later in his resurrected body, after he'd gone through all of that, and he said, Peter, I just want to know one thing. Do you love me? Do you love me? Would you just tell me, Peter, you love me? Why in the world would he care? But he does. Why in the world does God want Dave Tice to say, I love you? Why a worm like this would God care whether I say, I love you? But he does care, and he wants to hear it from me. And I'll never understand it. Maybe when we get to eternity, we'll see something there. But he wants me to say, I love you. He wants me, knowing everything about me, knowing all of my faults and all of my failures, he still wants me to say, I love you. I'm going to say, I love you, Jesus. I love you. I know I'm selfish in my love, but I want you to know I love you. I love you for dying for me. I love you for giving me my family. I love you for rising from the dead. I love you for doing everything you've given me, allowing me to pastor, allowing me to travel. I love you for all those things. I love you for because I'm selfish, and I just want to thank you for that. I tell him I fear him too, and I love him. We need to tell God we love him every single day. Tell the Lord Jesus you love him. Tell the Holy Spirit you love him. Tell God the Father that you love him. I don't know what time it is. What time do I have to end? I got 8 minutes. Okay, wow. So first of all, listen. as we pray, as we're getting ready to prayer. We're not even talking about praying. We're talking about just preparing our hearts for prayer. And I'm telling you, once you've done this, you get down, you worship Him, you thank Him, you praise Him, you confess your sin to Him, then you tell Him you love Him. Then you ask Him this first thing. I ask Him every day, and I want you to know I do pray this every single day. I ask the Holy Spirit to control my tongue. James says the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. It says it can say the wrong thing. It can say hurtful things. It can say things that are unkind. So he says, he tells us that we need to bridle our tongue. We need to learn to do that. So every day I ask the Holy Spirit to control me, because we can't be the kind of Christians God wants us to be unless the Holy Spirit is controlling us. And we're going to see that that is inherent in the prayer that Jesus tells us to pray. So ask the Holy Spirit to control you. Ask Him to control your tongue, what you say. I pray this. I say, Lord, help me to praise and thank and glorify and honor and bless. Help me not to complain. Boy, that's so easy. Or grumble or backbite or judge or blaspheme. That means to speak evil. I pray that. I've got a circle in my prayer diary that I pray. Here's a picture that I pray. That's got praise, thanks, glorify, honor, bless. Help me not to complain or grumble or backbite or judge or blaspheme. I ask Him to do that. Why? Because it's so easy for me to say and do the wrong thing. And I want to speak well. I want to be an encouragement. I want my lips to bring glory and honor to Him and encourage other people and promote other people and not bring people down. It's so easy to find fault. It's so easy to complain. I tell you what, the older you get, the easier it is to complain. I did not know this happened until when I turned 60, all of a sudden things started happening to my body that were just strange things. Before, I never didn't know that you walk down the road and all of a sudden there's just a pain. Oh, what's that pain? What's the foot? Did I step on something? No, that's just pain. What causes that? Old? Old causes that. You get pain. You walk. Now I'm walking with a limp. My wife says, what do you walk? I don't know. There's just like my whole leg just cramped up. Getting up out of bed. Now, ever since I was a kid, I had problems with the rat monster holding me in bed. But you get older, you start to roll out of bed and your body says, oh, and you just want to go, whoa. My wife says, what are you groaning about? Nothing. I'm praising the Lord. I mean, it's so easy. And then you have to stop. Getting out of the car, you get out of the car and you have to stop for a minute just to get your balance. That's crazy stuff. All this stuff happens. And so you get a little older, it's so easy to grump and complain because it's so easy to complain. And I just determined I'm not going to do that. And I said, God, by nature, I am a complainer. By nature, I whine. I don't get what I want. I pout. And God, I don't want that to be the case. And so I'm asking you to control my lips. I've learned when I'm going through something, when I go through some kind of hurt, I start singing, thank you, Lord. I start saying, thank you, Lord. And I use this as an illustration, but it's true. Years ago, my daughter heard me, and my kids know I do this. I hit my hand with a hammer, boom, and I say, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, because I don't want to complain. I want to thank the Lord. And so I start singing, thank you, Lord. My daughter, Charity, was telling that. She said, Lincoln fell down, hurt his knee. And Lincoln loves me, thinks I'm just really great. Lincoln is just my very active grandchild. And so Lincoln is when he's feeling something, everybody in the room feels it. So, I mean, he hurts, you're going to hurt somehow. Not that he's going to call, you're going to know it. If he's happy, you know everybody's happy. So Lincoln hurt himself and he was crying. I don't remember. He hurt his toe or his knee or whatever it was. And he said, it hurts. And she said, now Lincoln, stop that. You've done this long enough. Now stop that. She said, you know what Grandpa does when he gets hurt? And he said, what? She said, what Grandpa does is he thanks the Lord. And he sings, thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my son. He sings to Jesus, thank you. He said, he does? And she said, yes. He looked up and said, boy, that's dumb. Isn't that the way we really think? That sounds really stupid. But what we need, the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. So learn to ask the Holy Spirit to control what comes out of your lips every single day. Set time apart for him. Set a daily time for prayer. Bow down, worship him, thank him, praise him. Confess your sin to him. Tell him that you love him. And then ask the Holy Spirit to control your tongue so that you might bring honor and glory to him. Now when you've done that, you're ready for praying. You're ready to ask. And Jesus tells us a couple of key things. And we're going to start with that in just the next hour.